And so I'd like to preach on invitation for a couple of weeks now. I want to do a homily series, just something that's been on my heart, invitation. And over my time here, I touch on these themes that I think are of significance in terms of the building blocks for renewal. But also at the same time, we need to acknowledge the feast day, the implication of praying for all the souls. So just three themes to touch on. Just the reality of the faithful departed. And for some of us, feeling the weight of that sadness as we have reminders. And appropriate that we have this feast day before the holidays, which can be particularly difficult, especially in the first year after a significant death in the family. So that first thing, the reality of all souls. But also just want to touch on just maybe a little theological, like purgatory. The reality of purgatory. And I would suggest why that's good news. But then third, I want to touch on invitation and what, I guess the initiative of that, of what I talk about of a culture of invitation, like why should we care about such a thing? Okay. So the reality of death, purgatory, invitation. So first, the reality of death. Our Christian faith teaches us that death is a part of this human condition on account of sin, that it is a part of life. A part of life is death. But even though we know that as a fact of life is that there exists death, it still hits us very hard. I was blessing at Corner View, blessing some of the graves there. And one of the family members, when we were at the mausoleum, I just overheard as I was doing my thing. She said, like, oh no, this is where my family member is, but this is where I'm going to be. But they can't put my name on there yet. I can't see my name. No, I can't see my name on the mausoleum. I can't see my name. That's just too much for me. So different people have different reactions to things such as death. A family member's death and your own death, right? Those stir sometimes very different in emotions. But I guess the overarching theme of the scriptures that we hear in today's readings is that reality of divine accompaniment. Whether it's the souls of the just are in the hand of God. Which means God doesn't drop you from the time that you're alive into the time of your death. Like God doesn't drop you in that in-between phase called death. That if the faithful believe that God is holding me in his hand, and that even in death, that God is holding me in his hand, that means God accompanies me through death for the faithful. And that's why I love the line from the Psalm, even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. For the believer, death is nothing. But again, we have to put that fear in the hands of God. Or put that, you know, those emotions that kind of would separate us. Another reading option we have is Romans chapter 8. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Mindful that his love is stronger than death. And so we hear in that gospel, everything the Father gives me will come to me. How beautiful. How Jesus, we can see even this gospel passage as the Father being in the Father's hands and the Father presenting us as a gift to his Son, Jesus, who raises us to life. So, today's feast is an invitation for us. Whatever we need to put in God's hands, whether it's my loved one who has passed away, just to pray that prayer of love. We pray for our loved ones. Whether it's my fear of death, or whether it's myself, Lord, I put myself in your hands. So make that act of trust. That's the first thing. The second thing, the good news of purgatory. Purgatory is one of those Catholic things I think frequently we're embarrassed. We could be embarrassed about. If push comes to shove, if you have your family member who just reignited their faith, they went to a non-Catholic church, and now their faith is all of a sudden on fire, and they come to you and say, you know why purgatory? That doesn't make sense. Purgatory is good news. It's good news. It's good news. It's the good news of the mercy of God. That even though I live my faith imperfectly, that God gives me a chance for perfection. That even if I come to the throne of God in an imperfect state, that God gives me a chance to be perfected. That is to be loved. It's the good news of mercy, but I want to focus particularly the good news of God's respect for you and your decisions. God could have written our salvation, like that, the fact of salvation. He could have made it to where you die and you instantly become the saint God made, intended for you to be. But if we take a critical look at what that actually means, it effectively means that all of my choices that were imperfect choices, that God just at a certain point just obliterates all those choices. Effectively just kind of like erasing those choices. The reality of purgatory is that God gives me this chance to purify. That means to be loved even in my imperfections, and God is loving me. And that God is giving me that time, that space, that divine time, letting go of these imperfections as He is loving me. Purgatory. The pain of that purification that I did not exercise on earth. But also the most you will ever be loved. The most you will be loved before you enter fully into heaven. So purgatory is not God judging you for that purification. No, it's God intensely loving you. And it is biblical. You don't have to be ashamed. It is biblical if you know where to look. My favorite is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul writes about, building your house. You're building your house on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You have a choice. What will you build with? If you build following Jesus, you will build with precious gold. That is works of love, self-sacrifice, giving of myself. You will build with precious gold, silver, and gems. But if I choose the path of myself, I will build with less sturdy materials. Could be wood. It could be straw. And I would suggest, my house may include cracks from improper building. But what does Paul say? No one can lay a foundation other than Christ. This is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. If someone builds with gold upon this foundation, another with silver and precious stones, or with wood, bamboo, or straw, the work of each one will be shown for what it is. The day of judgment will reveal it, because the fire will make everything known. The fire will test the work of everyone. If your work withstands the fire, you will be rewarded. But if your work becomes ashes, you will pay. You will be saved, but it will be as passing through fire. To me, that's a clear explanation. Like, God respects your choices. He doesn't just take what you built and just wrecks it. And He takes what you built, and He gives you that time to experience the reconstruction in His love. That's what purgatory is. It's the fire of God's love recreating this house that has, yeah, my house has some imperfections in it. It's God working with you in the renovation towards your sanctity. To me, that's good news. It's like God loving you and not, you know, he could just, yeah, put you asleep and just, but no, like God wants to respect your choices and free will. And to rebuild with you your house. That's what purgatory is. With his love, right? So it's God respecting your free will, but God loving you. Even in our poor choices, okay? So that's the second thing. Third is a culture of invitation. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because all these initiatives that I'm discussing require invitation. It is a fact that if we're doing something new and the only invitation that's made is from this pulpit, we can only get so far and it's not going to be very far at all. Because after some point, everyone here will have followed it or made their decision, yes or no. I'm going to follow what Father's inviting. I'm not. And then we're done. Then we're done. And then I'm going to be standing up here and like, well, all right. But renewal happens when we appreciate that cooperation in the building of God's kingdom here at St. Teresa. That God's entrusted you. He's entrusted each of us here in your own way. There's someone here in your life that I will never have a chance to meet or invite. But God has given you that opportunity that he has not given anyone else. Not me, not the bishop, not the pope, but you. Okay. Invitation. We have to keep in mind. Why do we invite? It's because Jesus invites first. Okay. We have to keep that in mind. It's his invitation. That's the good news. It's not, I don't have to make this up. For those who have experienced renewal, it's just sharing that, hey, I did this thing. It was pretty good. I invite you to come. Just check it out, right? That's what it is. It's just his invitation. Just giving someone his invitation. Another option of readings we could have had for the gospel is one I pray frequently whenever I anoint someone for the last rites. And that's Matthew chapter 11, concluding with verse 25. Matthew chapter 11, when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are burdened and labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So this is why I'm inviting you towards a culture of invitation. It's because it's his invitation first. Come to me, he says, and I will give you rest. So for us to experience that invitation, the difference it makes when we know God's inviting me personally. And then again, I've experienced something. I've experienced God's love. Something for you to consider, you know, whenever you make that invitation. It's his invitation. It's not you and me trying to do something that Jesus hasn't already done. He's inviting us. We're just taking his invitation in here, presenting it to those people in my life. Okay. So these three things. Praying for our putting in God's hands, our loved ones, my fear of death, or even my very self. Receiving the good news of God's absolute respect for your free will, that he does not obliterate even our poor choices, but gives me a chance. The normal way is in this life. That's what the normal purgatory in this life. No, you can do your purgatory now. Purgatory is not a requirement. No. To accept the invitation now. To rebuild. To build with gold. With the lasting material of charity, love of God, and selfless love of neighbor. Let's pray that we may just have confidence in our Lord, His love. And we may be open to that continual invitation He gives so that we might invite others. Amen.